Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon, the unique blend of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle. DSC's Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy. Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable. Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions. Taurus, award-winning pistols and revolvers. Mossberg, American built, American strong. And the Red 55 Winery in Lindale, Texas. Signature wines of Grammy award-winning country artist Miranda Lambert and owned by Rick and Beverly Lambert.
Before getting into today's episode with Greg Simons, I want to tell you about something that I've been involved with for a while, involved in the fact that Luke Clayton and I have been writing a book, and that book should now be available. The book's titled Campfire Talk, and of course it's by Luke Clayton and Larry Wysoon, and my old dear friend Jim Zumbo is one who did the foreword for us. The book is a compilation of several different stories that Luke and I have done in the past. They involve hunting, fishing, conservation, cooking, and the great outdoors. Now, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about it or to order a copy of that book, you can go to catfishradio.org. That's catfish.org. And you'll find a section there where you can go to the book and order it. And if you want to, you can also request that Luke and I sign it, and it'll be shipped out to you in the hopefully in a very short period of time. But lots of good things coming down the road, and that book being one of them. So again, please go to catfishradio.org. And here in the future, too, it's going to be available on Amazon and through Sporting Classic Books and a whole lot of other places, and very possibly even through Luke and me personally, if we get an opportunity to come to your part of the country and do a book signing. Now let's join the episode that we've got planned for today. Mr. Greg Simons, you've been in the outdoor business for a long time. I can remember actually when you first got started.
Yeah, I was in diapers then. That's been, I don't know, 21 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
You've had a lot of experiences, obviously, in both in terms of the hunting and in terms of dealing with people, dealing with landowners, viewing hunting from all kinds of different perspectives as a speaker, both nationally and internationally, being involved in all kinds of organizations, including Dallas Safari Club, and of course with TWA as well too, and Texas Wildlife Association, and more recently as a DSC board of director. What prompted you to do this book? And before we get started beyond that, I just want to say, Greg Simons, welcome to DSC Campfires.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be able to spend some time with you and talk about topics that are near to both of us. And make some good medicine and chart a path moving forward of progress.
And occasionally enjoy a little bit of medicine as well.
That's right. No, I have. It's, between wildlife systems and the work we do there, working with some ownership in the Texas Hunting Directory way back when, wildlife consultants that Ruben and I own and operate, and then more recently Conservation Equity Partner with Terry Anderson and Tamara Wood, and then Wildlife Safaris, Dick Laros and Brown DeLosier that we used to own years ago, where we were booking some international trips. So yeah, it's having my finger in those different businesses and then being involved with different organizations like DSC, Texas Wildlife Association, and others, it's just allowed me to kind of dabble around in some different areas that that relate to the hunting business and the outdoor and wildlife world. And so I'm very fortunate to be able to kind of reflect on some of those experiences to allow me to have a little more context and perspective on various issues. So.
Well, let's go back to the very beginning. What got you into hunting?
Outdoors. And of course, my growing up with my dad and granddad, they were both avid hunters, and my grandfather, who passed away when I was six, he was a self-taught horticulturist and rattlesnake wrangler, and just being able to have that kind of experience as a kid, being able to shadow, my grandfather and my dad, that was really, my early access into this hunting and outdoor world. And then, once I got a little bit older, going to school at Texas A&M University and majoring in wildlife and fishery sciences, that was my, step into the professional area of this field. So it's just kind of been a successional opportunity for me to be able to graduate into doing what I do today.
I remember when you first started Wildlife Systems, I was writing for a bunch of different publications. We did some things together, and I wrote a book called Hunting Mature Whitetail. Or Hunting Mature Bucks, maybe, mm-hmm. is what it was.
Right.
And
yep.
I remember a photograph in there of you, a big kid, dark hair and mustache.
Yeah, that's me still today.
Picking
it's just
up.
Not as dark anymore, the mustache.
Picking up the shed antler, which that photograph is in there, and it wasn't very long after that, I got a call. I can't remember whether it was from you or your beautiful and lovely wife, Deborah, that said, guess who's got being treated for rabies.
That was quite an experience in itself. Had a couple of guys from Mississippi I was turkey hunting with, guiding on a turkey hunt out near Robert Lee, just north of San Angelo, and had a rabid fox that attacked the hunter that was walking behind me, and that fox latched hold to him. His name was Lane Buford, and latched hold of Lane right above his kneecap and would not let go, and finally pulled that fox off of Lane, and then the fox came back again. We eventually ended up shooting the fox, and the fox did test positive for rabies, so there was three of us because his buddy was trying to wrangle the fox too. So that's experiences like that can be kind of unsettling at the time, but they paint a past that's fun to reflect back on, just all the different neat, interesting experiences that if you're in this business long enough, you get a chance to come across.
Well, that's actually where I was hitting with that, with the question, because you've had such a great varied experience in dealing particularly too with people, and you mentioned Dick Laros, mm-hmm. years ago. It was you that got me to the first Harrisburg show way back when, and speaking talking to Dick and his, back mm-hmm. then, they were a safari club group, I think.
Right.
And speaking to them and spending time with them. But over the years, you've had the opportunity to deal with so many different people in different circumstances, different wildlife habitats, and different wildlife hunting situations. And I want to go from there to your more recent your most recent leopard experience.
Sure, absolutely. But no, Dick Laros was certainly a inspirational mentor of mine, and it's really kind of amazing how I came on to him. Actually, the first year in 88 that we decided to go ahead and start running some guided hunts, started the business in 87, that next year decided to get into trying to access some markets on the East Coast to offer some guided hunts. And I called a guy named Ben Calloway, who was working for the Philadelphia Inquirer at that time,
right,
as their
yes.
outdoor columnist, and basically, you know, offered him a hunt. He wanted to come down and hunt whitetails in return for getting some press in the newspaper. And back then, that was, you know, these big newspapers, whether it was the Philadelphia Inquirer or Allentown Call or the Houston Chronicle or the Dallas Morning News, those were outstanding ways of accessing some of those local markets. And Ben was very polite, but he said that he was not able to accept that opportunity, but he gave me the name of a booking agent, the name of a freelance writer up there, and the name of a taxidermist. And the first call to the booking agent was kind of calloused and cold, you know, just basically, and he was a big name guy, won't mention any names, but he mentioned he just didn't book for anybody that he didn't know. And of course he didn't know me, nobody did except my wife and my mother and dad. But then my next call was to the writer, and he basically told me it was unethical to offer a hunt in return for some publicity. And I was thinking, I'm not going to give you a hunt if you don't give me some publicity. And so that was strike two. And then my next call was to this taxidermist guy who also owned the Lehigh Valley Outdoor Expo up there, and it was Dick Laros, and he was kind enough to visit with me for about an hour, and he came down, brought some hunters with him that year, and we struck a really special relationship that lasted until he passed away 7 or 8 years ago, kind of almost a father figure in some ways. But yeah, so he was really inspirational in allowing me to meet some folks up there, and then that next year go up to the Lehigh Valley Outdoor Expo, which you were a speaker at least one occasion. So yeah, just, you know, having those mentors like that, it's so important for any young professional to have someone that helps tighten that learning curve and helps, you know, foster their motivation to plow forward and not give up. So he was certainly one of those mentors to me.
That plow forward, that doggedness of staying with it. It also carries over to your leopard hunts.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, yeah. I'm heading in a certain direction with all this, to be very honest. Yeah. Honestly, if you're listening.
I guess I could say unfortunately, but fortunately, it finally came together. But you're right. You know, as much luck as I've had with mountain lions and big mule deer, I've had equally bad luck with leopards, so it seems. My third try was in Zimbabwe this year, and it came together and shot a nice nice mature male cat, and so it was really kind of euphoric, and you know, in retrospect, those times that didn't come together, it certainly made me appreciate the cat, and it made me appreciate the moment even more than what I would have if I'd have shot a cat the first night in a leopard blind, for sure. So,
yeah.
And that's the way hunting plays out sometimes, you know.
It does. But to me, I equate a lot of this stuff where we're going to with life as well. You don't give up. you know, you don't give up sometimes, even when times are tough, and you look for a positive. If nothing else, just you learned an experience to go, I ain't going to do quite like that again.
Yeah.
So let's head toward the book. You're an excellent writer. You're an excellent speaker. You just amaze me in so many different ways with your talents. But why now? Why the book and why now?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it wasn't why now. It actually started about 15 years ago on a vacation in Hawaii. I'm not one to sit on the beach much, and I'd already been thinking about starting on putting some words on paper for a book. So it actually started about 15 years ago when we were on vacation in Hawaii with the kids. And then over the next two summers on two separate trips to Africa, I worked on putting some words on paper on those two trips. So I had about 50,000 words on paper. And then I had an opportunity to roll on the officer team at Texas Wildlife Association, which is generally a 6-year commitment.
Yes.
And so I knew I had to give up something. So I gave up golf, which I used to golf quite a bit, and I just didn't have the time to work on that book anymore. So after my officership, and then about a year after that, we were in Belize, Deborah and I on vacation, and I thought, you know what, it's time I get back to work on this book. And then once I got to looking at the manuscript, I was like, golly, you know, there's so much that has, you know, so much water has passed under the bridge over the last 7 years now, that my writing style had changed a little bit and my perspectives had changed on certain things. So I just basically started over. And so for the next 2 years, I worked on the book and put about 100,000 words on paper in the manuscript, and then spent most of that next summer doing a self-edit on that. And that was no telling how many hours I had in the self-edit part, and then turned it over to Lori Woodward to do the initial deep edit. And then it's went through two copy edits, and when it goes through a copy edit, it comes back, you know, to the author and perhaps the main editor. So we went through five stages of editing process. So it's if someone finds a misspell or a comma out of place, my head may explode, but but that's okay. There's not much in there, so
oh my goodness,
be like an empty watermelon. But but no, it's been a very protracted process. I saw the author's copy was sent to Lorraine Jarvis, the lady that I hired to be kind of the project manager that did all the layout design and was coordinated with Greenleaf Publishing or Greenleaf Book Group out of Austin. And she sent me pictures of the author's copy that she received yesterday from an international printer. And so it looks beautiful. And so she sent a email off to Greenleaf yesterday. It said, start the presses. So, you know, here over the next few weeks, we'll have 5,000 copies of the book. And then it'll take several weeks to be shipped over here to the States.
Right.
Hopefully it won't get hung up on a cargo box somewhere out on a port somewhere, but sometime in the next 6 or 7 weeks we should have books in hand. So
well, I'll make a comment right here that this will probably air just about the time that the book comes, will be totally available, kind of thing.
And by the way, the person that wrote the foreword in it, is a gray-bearded, used to be a red-bearded wonder, but it's a gray-bearded wonder that has a name similar to Larry Wyshoon and talks a lot like him. So,
well, you have no idea how honored I was when you called and asked about that and how honored I am to be included. Tell people the title, because we've talked about all kinds of things at this point, but the title, and then let's talk a little bit about some of the chapters.
Sure. Yeah. Now, the title is, it's pretty straightforward. It's called The Hunting Business. And it's got a subtitle called There's No Business Like the Hunting Business. And that was one thing that Dick and I used to reflect on. One of his sayings was, there's no business like the hunting business. And so that's the subtitle that I decided to attach to the title.
That's cool, because in a way it's honoring Dick as well, too.
Yeah. But it's the hunting business is really, it's a deep dive look at the hunting business, and it's not an adventure piece per se. It has certainly some anecdotes in there to make things a bit more interesting, but it's not an adventure piece. It's a deep dive look at the hunting business from concepting a business model to securing financing, basic business management practices and principles, marketing, customer service strategies, the culinary side of the business, risk management, harvest photography and the role that plays in this business, as well as in the world of hunting and hunting advocacy. And then there's also a few other chapters that kind of get off subject a little bit. A chapter in there that's called the roles that NGOs play in conservation. So it talks about just some of my experience being involved with different organizations, National Deer Association, Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, and a few others. But talking about the integral, absolute important role that these conservation groups play in being able to, help protect this hunting heritage, the role that they play in serving as a voice for, hunting and wildlife, and the role that they serve in terms of being an intervener, for different hunters and anglers and outdoor and wildlife enthusiasts. There's a chapter in there that talk about the 8 M's of hunting, that really the initial part of that, Dr. Bill Eichenhorst used to talk about the 4 M's of hunting, right. And he and I got to talking about what that looked like, and then there was 5 M's, and then 6 M's, 7 M's, and then a guy named Larry Wyshoon decided that without memories, those 7 M's would not be complete. So it's the 8 M's of hunting, and it's that chapter is a little philosophical, but in some ways it's also intrinsic. But it's a bit of a litmus of what hunting is and what it's not. And then there's a chapter in there that just is, I guess, my attempt to look into a crystal ball and try to predict, what the future might look like and what we need to be doing to help shape that future. So it's again, a deep dive into the business side of hunting, but also, looks at some other things. And I intentionally tried to build in some material in there that would apply to anyone in any field. They might be a business owner or business manager that they could glean some things from. They may be a college student just seeking, inspiration and guidance and what that looks like. And so I think there's material in there that can be extrapolated into whatever it might be that you do in life. So something like that.
Something like that. like you say, it's a deep dive. It really is. But as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, that I see many things that you mentioned there that can apply to almost anybody's life, though, as well, too. If you get right down to it, whether you're an outdoors person or not, there's an opportunity to learn. And I know how your writing style is, and it's a very enjoyable, readable writing style. So I got a feeling even some of those that people might not be particularly interested in this particular one subject, that they would find that quite interesting in terms of your perspective and in terms of your experiences. And I would go out on a limb without even thinking about saying so much of this is based on actual life experiences as well.
Yeah.
Of having to deal with certain circumstances
over sure.
time.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and again, it, some of this gets back to just, you know, this amazing... you know, history that I've had, being able to meet so many people, amazing people, work with so many amazing properties, be exposed to a lot of different enterprises, not all hunting related,
right.
some other, you know, nature-based enterprises, being able to develop relationships with a number, many highly successful business people, and spending some meaningful time with them, you know, saying, you know, tell me about
right.
your secrets for success.
Right.
And then trying to see what are some of the common central traits that this person worked for, this person over here, that person over there, and then trying to coalesce, you know, some of those common traits on what worked for various folks. And indeed, you know, different people have certain unique styles or certain creative ways on how they've been able to carve out, you know, a successful path. But in many cases, they're very common between those different people in terms of how it all came together for them. And certainly one of those common traits is, you know, surrounding yourself with good people. And
right.
and that's one of the perhaps the most central trait as I, you know, met people over the years is, you know, being able to affiliate and surround yourself with quality people that will lift you up, that will inspire you, people that are smarter than you, that you can learn from, and people that have their own networks that that allow you to kind of segue into their own unique networks and meet, you know, other folks that they're affiliated with. So yeah, no, it's, you know, at times over the years, it seems like, you know, multitasking and long weeks were daunting, but at the end of the day, you know, it's those long weeks that allowed me to, you know, to meet a lot of folks and to do a lot of neat things and to try to, you know, pack a little bit more information into my pea-sized brain. So.
I'm laughing at this point because I so admire you in so many different ways. But you're right. I get tickled. I've been very fortunate, very blessed in everything that I do, or a lot of the things I've done, as have you, in so many different ways. But people really have no idea how many hours go into the day every single
yeah.
day of the year.
Sure.
When you do the kind of things that you do and kind of in a different way what I do, and it's
mm-hmm.
just
yeah.
there's a lot of dedication, there's an absolutely fabulous family behind you,
yeah,
as with Miss Deborah, your wife, and your
sure.
children,
yep.
and same thing with my wife and my kids. Were they of a different ilk or a different manner,
right, sure.
I'd be sweeping the floors somewhere and being thankful that I could have that ability still mm-hmm. to do that kind of thing. So family
yeah.
play very important
oh,
in
yeah.
all this.
Oh, well, yeah. Too. No, it's they do, and there's not always that family dynamic or family chemistry that is patient with someone that, you know, that's on the road a lot and puts in a lot of hours, and you do. You really have to put in a lot of hours. I've occasionally had, you know, someone bemoan the idea of, you know, working 12 hours that day. And I always say, so you're working half days. And
my same statement that I'll make a lot of times.
And but yeah, you know, a 40-hour work week, you can get a lot done, but really to make a big difference and to scale out your efforts, it's for much of your life, not your entire professional life, but much of your life, it's not going to happen in a 40-hour work week.
No,
it's going to take 60 to 80 hours a week to really be able to do things in a bit bigger way. And especially if you're trying to build some, you know, some time in for volunteer work, which I think's, you know, critically important.
Yes.
In developing one's profession and giving back to one's profession.
Yes.
And being a true professional. But that, you know, I'm hoping that I'm 59 years old, so I'm hoping that, you know, before long I'll figure out a way to trim that back to half days and just put in 12 hours a day.
I got a feeling there may be some days where you do that, but I would not say that you're going to do it every day.
No, that's for sure.
Greg, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, that we're recording this well ahead of time. We're at a hotel being at a DSC meeting. Where are your books available, or where will they be available? How is the best way to attain one of these books?
Sure,
or procure
one of them? Yeah, Greenleaf Book Group will be handling any of the, for lack of a better description, the commercial distribution of it. And they'll have it in Barnes & Noble, maybe not in many of their storefronts, but on their website.
Yes.
Barnes & Noble,
right.
Amazon, they'll have it available through Amazon, and then a few other smaller shops. And then, but really, and it's my book. We paid for all the production costs.
Right.
So it was not published. It was by anyone else. It was self-published, so it's my book. And so I do retain the ability to control, you know, what all of the distribution looks like. So we'll be doing some self-marketing. Probably the easiest way would just be to send us an email, Greg at Wildlife Systems, and then we'll make sure that if you reach out to us before books are in hand, we'll have a spreadsheet that, you know, we'll have your name and contact information. We'll take a payment. It'll retail for $49.50, and bargain. And
yes, it is.
You know, it's not worth a penny more than $50, but it's certainly worth $49.50. And so yeah, we'll be doing some self-marketing, self-distribution. I'd like to think that maybe somebody who's desperate of some trade show or convention might need someone to come in, do a book signing, and have the person that wrote the foreword in there, you know, with them to provide some table appeal, and maybe somebody will walk up and want to sign copies.
I think we need to make a concerted effort to talk to at least one organization, maybe two, that I can think about with TWA and DSC, particularly at our upcoming conventions and those kind of things, to provide a table for Greg Simons to sign books.
That'd be
shake
fun.
Hands, so.
That'd be fun. And maybe tell a few hunting stories while we're there.
Oh, I bet the arms can be twisted very easily on that one. Greg, thank you so much for joining us around the campfire this morning. And the only thing that I would do is they can learn more about, you're involved in several businesses, quite frankly. What are those? And
sure.
What are the websites that they can go to? And then give your email
sure.
address one more time.
You know, the main business that I, you know, started right after college, Wildlife Systems, so wildlifesystems.com, and with that business we principally focus on putting together commercial hunting programs, working right now with about 1 million acres in Texas, and then Wildlife Consultants. It's thewildlifeconsultants.com, and we do some consulting work, tech guidance work for different landowners, bank trust groups, a little bit of expert witness stuff. And Ruben Cantu and I, we work with about 70 to 80 different landowners each year through that company. And then Conservation Equity Partners, conservationequitypartners.com. And that company, Terry Anderson, Tamara Wood are principals in that company, and they run that company. And we focus on environmental mitigation, some forestry management. We have a fund that we put together a few years ago called Conservation Equity Fund. And with that fund, we purchase different properties that have different conservation uplift potential. And so, those three companies are the areas of, you know, profession as far as ownership that I, you know, dabble around with. And so any one of those websites, you can find some information on what those business services look like and those odd faces that are part of the ownership and management team of those funky groups. So it's
Greg, thank you so much for joining me around the campfire this morning. I look forward to the next opportunity, and maybe before too very long, we can actually get out on maybe a squirrel hunt or something in the eastern part of the state. Yeah. And maybe kick a few coals, yeah. Throw a few logs on the fire.
Javelinas, cliff monks.
Absolutely.
Chupacabras, you know, the big stuff.
DSC's Campfires has also been brought to you by the Crown Bar in LaGrange, Texas. Habit, our gear, your adventure. The Texas Wildlife Association, Double Nickel Taxidermy, Burnham Brothers Game Calls, and H3 Whitetail Solutions.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawks Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.